Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles, as always. On our preview podcast tonight, September the 18th, I'm joined by regular gooner, Eamon Donnelly, and by debutant, his first time on the show, and it's great to have him, David Sims, better known as Score Guy on Twitter, to preview this Sunday's Premier League clash against Pep Guardiola's Manchester City side. And remember to check out our supporters club bar, the River Bar in Dublin City Centre, for all of Sunday's action live on Sky Sports Premier League at 4:30. So grab a beverage and enjoy the show. As I said in my intro, first of all, I'll introduce Eamon. He got a nice ball flush to the face tonight on Astro. How are you, Eamon? Are you okay? Good days, but you know.
David O'Leary rang me on the way home, Jonathan, so I just want to update the listeners on he's completed his cookery course. You might remember he's doing cooking to music. So he did the first week he did Chinese, the second week he did Indian, and he said he did Italian tonight. And here's what he had to say. As I say, at the end of the day, and I got them done in three songs. And the first song was Pasta Dutchie by Musical Youth. The second one was the Macarena, but the head chef changed it to the Macaroni. And as I say, at the end of the day, the last one was Make a Ragu, Is It You by T-Rex. So, yeah, all good. David's finished the course now, so congratulations. We'd have to give him a cert. Good to be on. Looking forward to the game. You and I are going, Jonathan. So good to meet you, David. Hope to meet you in person very, very soon, pal.
I'm also joined by you.
I don't know where I can follow that, really.
David Sims, great to have you on. All Arsenal fans will know you when the Sky Sports TNT cameras pan to you when Arsenal score. First of all, Dave, like I ask every fan that comes on, how did you get to support Arsenal, pal?
My lovely dearly departed mother put me onto it. She was, you know, she was a Londoner, and she just said, you know, why follow a good London team? And obviously, Arsenal were. It was the late 60s, we were starting to play well, starting to win things. And that was it, really. I just got locked into it. Obviously, 70s weren't too good. The 80s were dire, weren't we? At least we managed to get a few good things happened in the 70s. But, I mean, I was very young at that time. I think when we beat United in the FA Cup in 79, that was the point where I really started following them. That was like one of the key games, you know, and then losing to West Ham the next year really put some perspective in my life, I think.
And then the Cup Winners' Cup 4 days later.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. It was, it's been a journey. And as soon as I got a chance to move and live as close as I could to Highbury, which was in the 80s, I did that and, you know, never looked back. Season ticket holder now, obviously. And over the last, 15 years, I've managed to get my face on most Arsenal celebrations at the Emirates and sometimes overseas as well, which is purely by chance. But, you know, you've got to be in the right place at the right time, like most good Arsenal scorers. I think that's the important thing. You've got to put yourself out there. And somehow you get on the TV. So it's a lot of fun.
Where did you grow up, David?
I grew up in Lancashire, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah, you know, yeah. I can hear that. Yeah, yeah.
I've had, Yeah, I've had a very much all my when I was growing up, all my mates were Liverpool and Man United fans and whatever, and so I decided early doors that Arsenal were going to be my team. First game I ever went to was Everton, Arsenal, 76, 75, something like that would have been. It was a very, very dire 1-1. But you know, that's where it starts. And first chance you get is you get down to Highbury, don't you? And you live close to the ground and walk to the games every weekend. Pay
John,
2 or 3 quid to get in. They were the beautiful times,
yeah,
weren't they?
remember it well, Jonathan. And I'm not trying to do your job, but given that David grew up in Lancashire, I have to ask him this question. Do you know my friend Ken Barlow?
Is he
Ow, but
underneath
it's
the patio
so
somewhere?
frustrating, Deirdre. I love you, Barlow. There you go.
We
So,
haven't
yeah.
heard
Yeah, it's probably
that
happened.
long time. I say he gives Ken Barlow a run for his money, he said. Briefly, David, I was unfortunately never got to see a game live at Highbury, but I know Eamon saw plenty of games at Highbury. What was your favorite moments that you cherished from Highbury, David?
Really quickly, I'd say obviously Henry's goal against Tottenham has to be up there. You know, it was an amazing moment. I think if I had to really put on it, my personal ultimate favourite, because it meant so much to me, was Dennis Bergkamp's goal against Spurs in the rain when Wrighty took it to the corner flag. And then spun it back, and Bergkamp scored, got down on his knees, and span out in front of us in the North Bank. I can remember that now. I can feel the rain. I can see it. It's such a vivid, vivid memory. For Henri's goal, I was in the West Upper above the when Spurs lost the. I think Spurs had a they were in a throw-in, weren't they, or something down in our corner, and they lost the ball, and Henri was off. Yeah, and that was definitely something to see. But I think the Bergkamp one was, and then of course the ultimate is being in the North Bank when Adams banged it in against Everton for the double in '98. Again, just one of those moments that even at the time you think it was special, but now when you look back on it, you realise that it's a history-making moment in your life, you know, and. So yeah, very fond of Highbury. I spent a lot of time there. But you know, you've got to move on. We are moving on. We're in a new era now, totally new era. We're in the Arteta era now, and we are, you know, squad depth FC, aren't we? We're unbelievable, amazing.
Yeah, before we get into the Manchester City preview, David, can I get your take on our new summer signings? How do you feel they've embedded into the squad, David? Who stood out for you the most from all of them?
I think when it all happened, obviously it was a drawn out over a few weeks and months, and people, you know, social media now gives up so many names, doesn't it? And you never really know where you're going. I think now it's all settled down. I think the most amazing signing has to be our fantastic new giant at the back, Mosquera. I think he's just for £13 million from Valencia is just a steal of the century. Saliba still hasn't signed his
David, sorry
contract.
for it.
I'm
Did
sure.
you see the breaking news story yesterday that we are in trouble with financial fair play?
Yeah, because
Because
they haven't paid enough for him.
because Mascara was an unfair bargain. I like that one, you know.
Yeah.
You
I
got me
totally
worried there,
agree with you.
Eamon.
I mean, it's not Declan Rice half price, is it? It's Mosquera at like 10th of the price. I mean, you know, the guy has come in, and if he can keeps going as he's going, with Saliba having this knock at the moment and might be coming back on Sunday, I don't know. I think Mosquera should, you know, he's shown not a foot wrong, and he deserves the right to start against City. There's going to be a lot bigger games coming up,
The
which
only
Saliba
thing
can.
about that is that Saliba has form against Haaland.
Oh, listen, don't get me wrong. I know this. I know this. But, he has to be. Listen, look, hey, this is what I really wanted to talk about when you asked me to come on. To be Arteta now, to have the choice of two people in every position is something that I've not seen within an Arsenal squad probably ever in my life. The level, there's no drop off. You bring on, you saw out in Bilbao, you know, Trossard and Martinelli coming on, and look what happened. You take off Calafora, you bring on MLS, you know, you make these changes, you know, Rice is on the bench, he comes on. It's just unbelievable. So it's all down to Arteta to get it right. I believe he will. But, you know, regarding the other players that we've bought, Madueke, obviously, controversial signing, can you say? I don't know. There was a lot of hoo-ha when he was coming. But again, probably touches it for the best signing so far above Mosquera. Yeah. You know, Eze, we haven't seen enough of him yet. You know, he literally hasn't played the minutes, I don't think. It's still out there. Madueke's been lucky because he played for England, so he got the game, he got the fitness to come back and play again. So he's sort of, you know, and it's great because the irony is if Saka hadn't got injured, we would not be seeing Madueke. He'd be still sitting there, not getting match fit. You know, Odegaard being out has brought in other players. You know, we're being forced to make the changes, but our players are getting fit. And that is the amazing thing at this level, early doors, to get match fit at this, you know. And you could see, I was at the Forest game. Forest were blowing. They were absolutely destroyed, you know. They just didn't have the... Williams was literally out in front of us and he was, you know, he was almost throwing up on the halfway line. He was in a right state. And already, you know, and then you've got to add on to that you've got Max Dolman, you know. I mean, you know, who could be... I was watching him just warming up the other day, looking at him, thinking... He could be one of the greatest players ever to kick a football. And he's 15 years old and he's warming up in front of us on the subs bench. You know, I was thinking in 20 years time, I'll be saying, I saw Max Dolman warming up and he went on to be like a Maradona or a Messi or something. Do you know what I mean? Because the guy has everything. Absolutely unbelievable. The future's bright, guys. That's all I can see at the moment, you know. And God, we deserve it because we've been through a lot of turmoil in the last few years, and fair play to the board being able to bring us back so quickly, really. I always compare ourselves to Man United, and Man United are still sinking. They haven't even hit the bottom of the sea yet. They're still going down. They're
Isn't
dropping.
That a beautiful sight of the day to say that? It's beautiful.
and we managed to get to the top of the waves early, you know. We were floundering for a bit, but we are now on that wave and we're surfing along. Man United are still sinking in that ocean. They are going nowhere but down, and it's quite unbelievable to see a giant of world football that can't get back up anywhere. They can't catch a breath, you know.
But David, can I stop you there for a second? Because what you're saying is brilliant stuff. What David's saying is brilliant stuff, Jonathan. But I've been harpooned on this show a number of times, you know, not three seasons ago or whatever. And you know, I'm a big advocate of Arteta. And what I've said to people is that he had to do his apprenticeship on the job. He'd never managed a team before. And he also had to burn the club down and start again. And if you read Charles Watt's book, Arteta's Arsenal Revolution, you'll see what a mess he inherited. And then you have these, all I can say is knobheads on the social media. Oh, we never win a league with that manager. If you look at the squad he's put together, he doesn't get everything right. Of course he doesn't. But hold on. I always say to people, well, okay, if you wanted rid of Arteta, who are you going to replace him with? So look at Man United. And the reason why I'm saying this is because you're talking about Man United. Look at Man United. They are like we were as the Wenger era was coming to a close. They're clinging on to their former selves. They're throwing good money after bad. They're sacking managers left, right, and centre. They're picking a manager because he's had a good season at such and such, therefore. When they brought in Ruben Amorim, everybody said, this is the fix. This is the fix, right? Because he's such an outstanding pedigree. And it may well be the fix. But he has to deal with Arteta did. He has to burn that club down. And it's a very unforgiving business. So where Arteta has positioned us now compared to what he took over is nothing short of phenomenal in my view. Okay, he makes mistakes. Sometimes he's overcautious. He has a coaching staff too, right? But boy God, we're going to watch the Arsenal. Like yourself, David, I go pretty much every home game, right? And I'm looking in front of me and I'm saying, Jesus, we are really, really strong. I didn't think we were particularly good against it. I hate the first three games of the season because you're only trying to bed players in. You're trying to get them used to each other. And then you have the international break. But against Forest, we were beastly. We were absolutely beastly, you know?
Yeah, sick, definitely.
Yeah, and I think I can totally and utterly agree with everything you've said. And I think just going back on what you've said regarding the first three games, the Premier League computer gave us the hard.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The start I've ever seen of a club, and we're still in the middle of that. But we've done incredibly well, bar a wonder goal by Liverpool, by or late pool as they should be called. We're right there. We're right there. We're in the Champions League. We had a dodgy away game. They were the first time they'd been in the Champions League for 8 years. It was a massive cup final fiesta for them. The crowd was absolutely up for it. And we've got five starters in that game that had never played the Champions League before, ever, right? They weren't just debuts for Arsenal. They'd never even played the Champions League. So I thought we did incredibly well. It's great that you're playing an old enemy in City this Sunday. You talk about Saliba and knowing how to pocket Haaland. We've got to remember that their goalkeeper is from PSG, right? They've just got him in. Donnarumma is a quality keeper. But I can tell you now, having been at that semi-final, I was there at that semi-final in Paris, risking my life in the Paris streets afterwards. They're going to want revenge on that guy. I mean, it's a shame Saka won't. I mean, there's rumours that Saka might play on Sunday. I don't know. I think it's smokescreen, but you never know. But I know for certain the players are going to want to get some goals past him because they didn't do it when he was at PSG. And they're going to be up. The great thing about football, we all know, is that look at, 2 weeks from now, the special one's going back to Chelsea in the Champions League. Football can turn around really quickly and you can get that chance to get that revenge really quickly in football. It comes around. Things happen. And I'm quite
David,
pleased with that.
the save that Donnarumma made from Odegaard in the first 5 minutes of the second leg when it came through a Forest of players was absolutely. I mean, he wouldn't do that another time out of 100, you
No,
know?
exactly, exactly. Yeah, I was just above that, looking down on that, and I thought we had that game. I really did. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of and City haven't bought. They've bought a lot of players, but they're trying for a rebuild. They've sort of gone back a notch or two, right? They haven't just suddenly gone out and bought like unbelievable. I mean, okay, the goalkeeper, yeah, quality PSG. Champions League, yes, absolutely. But you look at the other players; they've got to bed them in. They haven't hit the ground running. They're changing their system a little bit. They've lost amazing players. Obviously, Kevin's gone. I don't know if that was a mistake or not. We don't know. We'll know a little bit. We know more how Napoli and City get on in
But
the Champions League, but.
just on that, David, you see, people used to say to us, you've never replaced Dennis Bergkamp. And I used to say to them, but you can't. You can't replace Dennis Bergkamp. There isn't another Dennis Bergkamp out there, in my view, the greatest player to ever play for the club. And City will not be able to replace Kevin De Bruyne. But they just won't be able to do it. They're going to have to do other things, right? But you can't just get somebody who's going to replace Kevin De Bruyne. It's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, they've signed some
No,
quality. Sorry, Dave. They've signed Donnarumma from AC Milan for 30 million. Tijani Reinders came from Milan for 55. Sorry, Donnarumma from PSG. Sorry, Ryan Cherki from Lyon, who was outstanding against United in the Europa League last season. Ryan Aidenori from Wolves and James Trafford, from Burnley, who was already there when he was a youngster as well. Their outgoings was James McAtee to Forest, Ederson to Fenerbahce, Kevin De Bruyne, of course, Napoli. Akanji went to Inter. Gundogan said goodbye and went to Galatasaray. Kyle Walker to Burnley and Jack Grealish to Everton on loan, who has kind of refreshed his kind of career, you could say. You know, he's been given that freedom. I think he was always going to stand out in a team like Everton with no disrespect, you know. But in terms of their form at the moment, that's they won 3-0 last weekend against Man United, of course, very poor United side. Foden and Haaland got 2 goals. But they lost before the international break. They lost 2-1 to Brighton away. Milner, their ex-player, got a penalty, and Grude, Haaland scored in that game as well. Sports betting comprehensively, I thought, at the Etihad through Johnson and Polina. And the opening day, of course, was Haaland scored twice, Reinders and Cherki against Wolves. What would you make of their start, Eamon, this season, City?
Okay,
It's
well,
like a complete, as David says, is this like a complete, are they in a rebuild mode?
I discovered something for the first time last weekend. So I went over for the Forest game, and I had some we had some a family birthday party in London that weekend as well. So I was coming home on Sunday, and I discovered in Gatwick Airport for the very first time that there is actually a bar that shows live football, because normally, if you go to that Wetherspoons, I forgot Wetherspoons don't do live
Yeah, they
football,
don't do
right?
life.
Yeah, but I found there's a place called the Smokehouse. So I went over. The flight was delayed for a couple of hours, 3 hours,
Yeah.
and I went over and I had a watch of the City United game. And while United were deplorable, City were very, very good. They were really, really good. They were at it. They were snappy. Doku was on fire. Foden looked back to his best. They got Rodri back. City, Man City are still a very, very good team, right? Here's the question I'd ask you, because Arsenal fans are so obsessed with winning the title that every week it's a disaster. You know, they look at Liverpool scoring a late goal and they have a meltdown. Right? Season is 38 games. But I can tell you, if it was Man City playing Liverpool tomorrow or Sunday, right? Wouldn't we be sitting with our arms folded saying, I fancy them to do something against Liverpool. So you've got to judge it in that context, right? That's the context you need to judge it in. We would be sitting there saying, Man City going to Anfield, you know what? They could get a point and take two off Liverpool, or you never know. So it's the very same when they're coming to our place. They've got very, very good players. I think where City are suffering is because of the fact that they're owned by a nation state. They're finding it hard on the transfer market because teams put a Man City premium on when they're selling players to Man City, right? And I think they've signed players who are not as good as the players that have left and are still paying top dollar for them. You know, they have good players. They look quite energetic. I was just looking at their lineup. So Donnarumma and some of the new guys, but Doku, as I said, was on fire. A really, really good combination. The Haaland, Foden looked as if he was back. And the lad, he had a family trauma. They used to laugh and call him names. What was his name? Reinders. All of the other Reinders used to laugh and call him names. But Reinders in the middle of the pitch looks to me
Got
like
a
a
very red
player.
nose.
He looks like a player, right? So we're up against it. When I say we're up against it, we're up against top quality opposition on Sunday. But we're very good. We're very, very good, you know. You'd like to think that we'd be able to get a grip on midfield. Much you see, where Man United are an absolute lucky bag, where anything can happen, isn't they've no midfielders. They've good attacking players and reasonably good defenders. But apart from Bruno Tite in midfield, they've nothing. They've nothing. So Man City with Rodri and Cole and Bernardo Silva, little bollocks, by the way. They dominated that midfield, and the funny thing was, they beat Man United at home with only 45% possession. So what does that tell you? Guardiola was obviously obsessed obsessed with dominating the ball, Jonathan.
He's
And
trying to change his ways.
it was almost as if they said, United are crap with the ball in possession. Let them have the ball. Let them have the ball, and we'll
They're not
fill them
going
on the
to do anything with
counter-attack.
it.
And that's what they did. They absolutely mortared them on the counter. That game could have been six,
Yeah,
right?
could have easily been.
So I think unusually for an Arsenal Man City fixture, I think we will have more of the ball. I remember the game in the 23-24 season when we should have won the title, when we got the 89 points and they went on this unbelievable run. We played them in October at home, and I watched. They were in their pomp then, right? I watched how they press you. It's not a mad press that everybody dashes high up front. They actually, the whole team inches out meter by meter by meter slowly. All of a sudden, they have you like a python. And you remember that day? David Raya had to stop trying to play out in the back. He just went over them.
Yeah.
And we had to, and it was like an American football game. We had to get some field position. But eventually we got, and then Martinelli got a late winner, right? But they were in their absolute pomp then. What I'd say is that every time we played Man City, up to 2 seasons ago, we feared them. We don't fear them anymore.
Yeah. I'm a Manchester City
You're
fan.
right. You're right.
I'd actually not ask you this, David. Sorry. Of course, we all remember back in February we bet Man City 5-1 at the Emirates. Odegaard, Partey, Lewis Getty scored a wonder goal and two quality goals from Havertz and then Weirdly finished it off. How good of a performance was that, David? Did you see that kind of scoreline coming against Man City and the teams that Pep Guardiola has brought against Arsenal? Did you ever see that happening? You know, that sort of performance.
The situation is obviously it has happened. No one really saw that coming because obviously, people were still at that point fearing them. We didn't fear them for that before that game. A lot of other teams did fear them before that game. We didn't. We obviously the whole humbling issue with Lewis Skelly with, seemed to drive on the fans. It got everybody got on Haaland's back. Once the goals started coming in, it was like a. And I what I want to say on that is that. Let's not use that as that was then. This is now, right? We can't go
100%.
back to that. That's not going to happen on Sunday,
No.
right? They are going to want revenge just as much as us because we smashed them that day, right? But one thing is for sure, we play our best football when people attack us and want to come out. And Man City are not gonna they're not gonna play behind the ball. They're not gonna play deep. They're gonna come at us. It's gonna be a fantastic, almost cup tie game, which could be end to end, could be a lot of goals. And the good thing about that is, I believe personally that our defence is better than Man City's. And I think, again, there'll be a lot of goals in this game, but I think at the end, we will hold out more goals than they will score, and basically our defence will see us through. It could be a 4-2 or something or other on Sunday. I really do. I think it could be a crazy game. It could be ebb and flow,
Yeah.
One thing's for certain is neither team are going to give up. They're going to really want to go for it. Not there's going to be no. I mean, I'm hoping that we're at home. I'm hoping Arteta plays. He'll play defensively, but I hope we're going to see a lot of a lot of strikers on that pitch. We have. I mean, that's the great thing. We're back to that time where nearly everybody in our team can score goals and quality goals. Zuma Mendy's goals were unbelievable the other week. I mean, amazing. The guy has, I think he scored two goals in his whole career or something or other prior to that. And
That's right. Yeah.
scored two on Saturday. Amazing.
How good was that fourth goal, David, in your opinion? That outstanding volley he scored. How good of a goal was that with you being in the ground yourself? Exceptional.
It took everyone's breath away. It was amazing. It was like Rice's goal against Madrid. It was one of those moments where everyone went, wow. And then obviously the amazing thing now is that the Emirates, they seem to have cameras everywhere. They had a camera on the ref, they had a camera on the ball, there was a camera in the pitch, camera, they showed it in every single angle. It was amazing. to really analyze it. And it was a fantastic goal. It was such power and venom. Very similar to this. I mean, I love it when Arsenal strikers really do put their foot through it. Like Martinelli's goal against Bilbao, there was a real sense of urgency, like a real strike, you know? And yeah, I mean, Gyökeres was, you know, he's coming. He's coming. You've got to remember, like, unbelievable pressure on that guy. I don't think there's been a signing at Arsenal that I can really remember that so much pressure on a guy to come in
Yeah.
and deliver. We want a striker. We haven't had one for 7 or 8 years. The media are on everybody's back, all the pundits on Arsenal's back. Are they going to buy a striker or not? And we get the guy, and how many goals has he scored? He scored 3 goals in 4 games already. I mean, it's fantastic, you know? And I just want to say about Gyökeres, watching him live on Saturday, it was the way. I mean, people have complained that he's not quick. People have complained he's got a little bit of weight on him. Well, if he continues to put the effort in that he's doing, he's going to lose all of that weight, and his speed is going to be unbelievable. I think there's definitely a deal going on there that basically you play for 60 minutes and you give everything, and I'm taking you off then. It's like we play now in 4 quarters. It's like we start the game, then we move into the second phase, then we move into the substitute phase, and then we move into the fun area, the Liverpool area of the late goals and the injuries. You know, it's like this new area. It's like this game is split up now into so many. It's like you have two or three different teams, and you know, you start with this team, and then you transform to subs, and then you bring more, and then you really get it, and you so and Arteta seems to really understand that now. And yeah, some of these games are 100 minutes long, aren't they? You know, and you've
Well,
got to be able to have that squad.
I think Gyökeres mightn't start on Sunday.
You're not saying so, Eamon, no?
Well, look, I don't think he's that brilliant. But I think I said this on the show the last time. If he's a flat track bully, that against the Brentfords and Bournemouths, no disrespect to them, that we should be beating, scores a goal every game, and ends up with 25 a season. And we get 10 more points as a result. Job done, right? Personally, if Havertz was fit, no doubt Havertz would start on Sunday. 100%. He's a different type of player. He gels things together and makes intelligent runs better than most players, by the way. Not just better than Gyökeres, better than most players, right? And I think in the bit when Kai is back, I think in the blue chip games, he'll be the one that starts. And I think Gyökeres, and that's no disrespect to him, he could get 25 goals a season against teams that we couldn't beat last year, that we need somebody to do that. That's okay. That is absolutely okay. So I don't know. He may go with Trossard up front on Sunday because of the type of game it is, where you need a bit of craft, and he might actually do, because he was very big on saying the finishers, the people who finish the game, are probably more important than the people who start the game in some ways. So he may well go for a reverse tactic this time, where I'm gonna give Trossard 60 minutes of moving them about up top to try and create some space, and then I'm gonna bring in the flat track bully when that space is there. You wouldn't know, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. I totally agree with you. I think, you know, Havertz. I always said if ha even when we were buying Gyökeres, if ha Havertz had been fit, he would have started against United on the opening day of the season.
100%.
I do. That's the exciting thing, isn't it? We are more now engaged in that hour and 15 minutes before kickoff, looking at the team sheet to see who's playing and who isn't. And going, Jesus, look, Mourinho's up top again. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's I'm gonna get a t-shirt with that on. But yeah, I mean, we just don't know. We don't know. And the great thing about that is that Pep doesn't know either. And that's the thing. He has no idea, and no one has an idea on what Arsenal and how they're gonna set up and what's gonna happen and what format we're playing. And is Eze gonna be in the middle this week? Because there's no Odegaard, and he's going to put Martinelli on the left. Madueke on the right and Trossard up top, and then he's going to swap it all out. Do you know what I mean? We don't know. We don't know these things, right?
Or is he going to play 1 year where Odegaard is? You know,
exactly. You know, or is he going to really wind them up and he's going to bring on Max Dolman with half an hour to go to humiliate them, right? And score the youngest ever Premier League goal. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, Arteta's got a chance to really push it to City. You know, he's got his connections there. It's where he was, you know, it's where he was created, shall we say, as an assistant coach.
Yeah.
He knows everything about Pep. He knows the dark arts. He knows the mind games.
Yeah.
You know, if you probably asked Arteta out of all the games in the league, which one's the most important for him to win, he'd go, I want to beat City. That's where I came from. Yeah. You know?
But that's partly not just because of his coaching history there and his association with Pep, because they bullied us routinely for so long.
We
used to lose 3-0 at home to them. There was a game, I think it was the Arteta's last game on the bench for City, when they beat us 3-0 coming up to Christmas, and they were 2-0 up after 5 minutes, and he took over the following week, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to
celebrate
one before we finish.
He knew as well, because he didn't celebrate City winning. I remember the footage of him sitting on the coach.
While we still have time, I just want to give one honourable mention. You know that Liverpool are looking at us when you have Jamie Carragher, absolute knobhead, right? He has something to say about Arsenal every day of the week now, right? What Arsenal don't have, what they don't sell, but like the fact that he's commenting on us every day of the week tells you all you need to know.
Just like to mention what myself and Dave, a woman had left the goal theory on rescored at Highbury, leaving Carragher on
his level,
results, so.
Yeah, but Jonathan, his level is spitting out the window of his car at a woman and her daughter. So, you know, that's the standard you have there, you know. Yeah.
I just like to, it was a great review show, lads. We got a lot in there. But just before we finish, very quickly, David, your favourite goal from this fixture, either at the Emirates or Highbury?
Unless I can come in straight away there. I was in the first row behind the goal, Arteta, in the 86th minute. And Joe Hart was in the goal. And I could hear actually Joe Hart going, fuck, as it went by him. And it nicked the post and went in. 1-0 to the Arsenal. Yeah.
David,
I can actually hear Joe Hart.
I'm going with the same goal. Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Okay.
100%.
I'd just like to thank my guest tonight, Eamon Donnelly. Thanks very much, pal, for coming on as always. And to David Sims, thanks very much, pal. Really top show and great having you on, and we hope to have on you again. Oh, it's gone.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,